Yep.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. Yep, right after you, KC. You know the signature, right?
My bad.
No, you don't ever say you're bad, bro. Just keep it going, man. We're flowing, man. Again, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man on this beautiful Tuesday. Again, it's been flying around. Everyone's got crazy busy schedules. We're trying to get paid like JQ, like Odell Beckham Jr. That's what we're trying to do, as always, man. So, again, let's let's check in.
Come on, Odell. Sponsor our radio show, my brother. I'm a fellow New Orleanian money, right? Like you.
Yeah, I'm going to say you better work that LSU connection.
That's what I'm talking about. we're having some fun. JQ, how you feeling, so? Everything good, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. Just running around like a crazy person, but I'm good. I had an excellent time at the Beyonce concert and super proud of Andrew Gillum winning Democratic nomination for governor there in Florida. He's a FAMU rattler, and he's married to my wife's lion sister, so super excited for him.
Nice.
Oh, we get
wait a little politics.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. All right, JQ, a lot of love for that. And my other partner, Mr. Robert Ford, trying to put in that great appeal to Odell Beckham Jr. Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir? You doing good?
Man, doing great. The theme for our show tonight is we're going to make football great again.
Yes, we are.
Make football great again. Couldn't have said it better myself, Rob. And I know, Rob, bro, I gotta talk, man. You got enough topics here, bro. I'm going to probably say probably only get to, like, maybe 10 of them, bro. But, again, I appreciate the effort for sure, bro.
Hey, y'all, some slack because we can get them in.
I was like, talk to your boy, JQ. You see how many topics we had? There's so much good stuff. I mean, again, Rob, just to let you know, it's good stuff. We can always extend this to next week because there's so much great stuff, man. So I'm excited.
Some of them will be old by next week.
They will be, but I'm saying there's a couple things as far as, you know, some predictions here and little things like that too, man. But again, we'll try to get as much as we can, as we always like to do. I try to say, guys, be consistent, get into like a minute, but we just always seem to ramble on. But it's all good. Here we go. Let's fill the numbers out really quickly for those who want to reach out to us. The number to call into the show is always the 424-243-9519. That's the number. Follow us on Twitter. We post a lot of good stuff on that as well. At the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook.com. We're having some fun with that. Go to Facebook. If you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. All right, let's kick it off with Rob's favorite team, the Cowboys. I was going to almost say Cowgirls.
Yeah, but you almost did.
Let's
State of Texas, he said it.
Robert says it, so I'm so used to saying it or hearing him say that. So let's let Rob kind of kick this off, too, about this is an interesting loss. Now, we always talk about how preseason is not that important. So I guess the question is, can you take that loss with a grain of salt, or is it kind of like a misnomer as far as how the season is going to portray, Rob? So we'll let you kind of kick it off the gate, bro, and tell us your thoughts about that, sir.
Well, I'm a big believer. You don't put a whole lot of stock in the preseason games. I know week three is probably the one week where teams do some game planning. You know, it's the official dress rehearsal. But at the same time, you still don't put a lot of stock into the preseason games. As you saw, Dak Prescott nor Zeke Elliott played in those games. But, however, I will say, or as the words of Stephen A. Smith, however, we talked about this. We've talked about this before in some previous shows.
Thank you, boy.
You got to be real concerned about the Dallas Cowboys this season. when you look at their perimeter, I mean, I don't see a weapon on that team. What, Rico Gathers, the guy played basketball at Baylor, you know, at tight end? I mean, you know, are they really going to be expecting him to be that guy, to be a weapon for them? They don't have anybody at the wide receiver position that scares me. And now the interior of the offensive line, we don't know what's going to happen with Travis Frederick in the situation with him. Obviously, you just got Zach Martin, who just came back from injury. Still don't know how it's going to really take for him to be 100%. So you got to be really concerned about their interior offensive line. And, I mean, now, I mean, teams are going to be stacking 8 men in the box to stop Zeke Elliott. With that offensive line being down, which used to be a strength, and now could be their interior line could be a little bit of a weakness now, and you don't have any weapons on the outside. Offensively, I just don't see where the points are going to come from. I really don't. And then when you look at defensively, they have an opportunity to be better. But offensively, I mean, they don't have to win games like 13-10. And I just don't see, you know, in this day and age, you don't see teams winning NFL games like that anymore. I think it's going to be a really tough season for the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't really think that game was misleading at all, even without Dak Prescott, and Zeke Elliott. I think there's some real concern in Cowboy land.
Hey, really quickly, JQ, just want to let you know that, you know, Dez Bryant is still out there for you guys. Go ahead, JQ. Still it out there.
Yeah, no, that bridge is bumping.
Hey, Randy Gregory looked great, and they look like they could have a good defensive line, and their defense could be a lot better, but I still don't know where they're going to score points.
I know they're really banking on Allen Hurns to be a number one receiver. I don't know if he's going to be able to live up to that. I agree with it. What I took away from it is that they just aren't really a deep football team. So when you look at the backups that play, because what Rob talked about with Dak and Zeke and, you know, the interior line not playing, and them not really trying to get anybody hurt, you saw those backups, and you're like, man, those backups aren't very good. And if they get pressed into duty and have to play due to injuries, or, you know, over the course of the season, they're going to take some significant steps back from their starting group, is what I took from it. I mean, I think they had, like, 8 turnovers in that game. I mean, you just can't you can't have that from your backups in any game. So, to me, that's what I took from it. They just aren't a deep football team. We, like you said, we talked about it. You know, they're going to be challenged to score. If I was a defense, I agree with Rob wholeheartedly. I would make Dak and whoever they ban the fees that they put out there at wide receiver beat me, but I wouldn't let it be Zeke. And then, you know, this isn't 2000 when you got the Baltimore Ravens where you can win those games 16-10. It's just not that league anymore. So it's embarrassing always to have 8 turnovers. And I just don't think they're a deep team. I agree. I think they might be in trouble. They have a significant injury or two. They don't have the depth to replace to overcome that.
Yeah, just a lot of things happened that game, and we talked about the offensive line that was a strength, guys. Now it's becoming a weakness, as you mentioned, Rob, with Travis Frederick, you know, happening, and, you know, Zach Martin, and now you get a press rookie in the service, and it looks like what was a pretty solid team is definitely has some huge question marks going into the season. And like you said, I mean, definitely agree with you, JQ. I'm a little nervous for my fantasy football, man, because if you drafted, you know Zeke thinking, oh, man, he's going to get like a lion's share of the load, and now you're kind of definitely concerned because there is no fear for the wide receivers for the Cowboys. So, you know, a lot of things, man, there may be a little trouble, man. So, you know, something to always monitor for season. But you heard it here as the season starts, man, the Cowboys officially may be in trouble. Wow. All right, gentlemen. Let's talk about this next thing here. Odell Beckham Jr., your boy, Rob, signed a whopping 5-year, $95 million contract, the highest guarantee ever for wide receiver at $65 million. He's going to average like $20 million over the next 3 years. I'm a little nervous because Julio Jones is up, and he's probably looking at that like, yeah. So, anyway, let's talk about that contract because is he worth it, I guess? And that's not like for this situation, like, you know, he's not a good receiver, but – man, you talk about setting the record, man. A lot of receivers are going to – this is one of those things that kind of changes the game as far as moving forward in the next couple of years. So what's the about that, Rob?
Well, obviously, you know, he's in New Orleans. He's from LSU, and that's a good deal for him. But I would still be very much concerned, you know, coming off of, you know, a major injury that he's coming off of as well. I know he had the injury early in the year last year. I want to say it was somewhere between week 2 and 4. I can't remember the exact week. I do know it was early in the season for the most part. So So he's almost at that 12-month mark, which it really takes to really recover from an ACL injury. But prior to that, obviously, he was outstanding. Great hands, great speed, you know. You know, a little controversy sometimes, but, you know, outstanding receiver. So, but I would still be a little concerned about giving that kind of money to a player that's coming off a major injury. I think I would have wanted to see a little bit more in the regular season before agreeing to that deal if I was the general manager of the New York Giants. I would have played it a little bit safer. Let's see what the first couple of weeks look like. Let's see how he's recovered from that. Before, but hopefully they've seen enough for him in, here in training camp and off season, to where they see that he's healthy, you know, to make that decision. But I would have still wanted to see a little bit more in the regular season before agreeing to that kind of deal, $65 million guaranteed, someone coming off a major knee injury.
Was it a knee or did he break his ankle? I thought he broke his ankle. I could be wrong. The thing about it is that the Giants were backed into a corner, to me personally. You look at the deals that Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, and those guys have gotten, and you look what Odell does to that offense when he's on the field. He's a game changer. So I hear what you're saying, but if you let it linger into the season, does it become a distraction to the team when you already have coming off a horrific year? But definitely by Giants standards, you know, they are a proud organization, owner of multiple Super Bowl rings. They're not used to being in that situation. So do you want that to drag on for it to linger and become a distraction in the locker room? I don't really think they had that luxury of waiting into the season. I could be wrong, but I just think they were painted into a corner. You look at all the other wide receiver contracts, and you look at the numbers and what he's able to do, and like he's definitely in that. And it's just like it just keeps escalating where, you know, like with Kirk Cousins, now you look at Aaron Rodgers, what are you going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers now that Kirk Cousins got all that guaranteed money? So it's just to me, it's just a domino effect of as the next guy comes up and gets a better contract, has good numbers, that next guy behind him is going to be like, you know what about me? Like you talked about with Julio. So, I mean, the dude is a monster. Yeah, he's got some things he's got to tone down, but he's also still relatively young. So he's got the opportunity to kind of get that under control. But New Yorkers love a flashy, you know, guy, especially a flashy guy that can play and back it up. So, to me, if he can tone it down a little bit, he still fits the mold with New Yorkers' love out of their stars. You know, along with kind of, you know, larger-than-life kind of, he can kick your butt, too. So, you know, I think it's just the price of doing business in the NFL when you have a star player.
Wow. Yep, good deal. I agree with you guys. We'll see how that plays out setting the stage, too, because, you know, we talk about hurting certain contracts, how it's definitely going to impact what's going to happen with the NFL, but that wide receiver position now is going to be interesting. Now you know why you know New York made a couple of decisions too there, because they're going to hold off on with Eli and a little things like that too, because this is the end, man. So they're going to go all in. And good thing for Odell, you saw teammates dancing. He said the weight has been lifted off his shoulders. I'm pretty sure the weight's been lifted off, you know, your shoulders if you get that kind of money too, man. So you know, good, man. Here we go. Good talks, guys. All right, let's move on to our next topic here, and let's talk about the expectations of you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs now. This is pretty interesting because you kind of want, as always, doing well in the season, and then kind of having some challenges in the postseason here. So a lot of names kind of come up, but what are some expectations that you think for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes this season?
You talking to me?
I am. Enough for you, bro. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Enough for you. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's good.
Yeah,
I'm
cutting in and out
of
there a little bit, Andre, so I'm sorry.
All right.
We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I'll fix that. Sorry. Go ahead.
I look at it in terms of, you know, I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl, but can they win the AFC West? I think they absolutely can. If you look at the landscape of what's happened in the AFC West, where Case Keenum has not looked the part so far, in Denver, and is Bay Bay and Emmanuel Sanders starting to, you know, be over the hill at wide receiver. You know, the rookie they drafted, I forget his name right now, has looked good, but are they going to let him leap over those two? So I'm looking at Denver as taking some steps back, even though they've got a good defense. I just think they're going to have a problem offensively as well. We looked at the Chargers. I love the Chargers in that division until they lost Verrett, and then I think also Casey Hayward has like a high ankle sprain or something like that. So your starting corners are beat up and for the Chargers, and I don't know what to make of Gruden in Oakland. Are they going to be, you know, they can't sign Khalil Mack. They're talking about trading, which I think is crazy. for everything that he does for that defense. So if I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs with, you know, Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, if they can just get that defense just to, you know, only give up maybe 21, 24 points, they can score 28 points a game. They're going to have to win shootouts. They're going to be on the other end of the spectrum from the Cowboys. They're going to have to win shootouts. So I think that defense has regressed some. But in that division, I really feel like they can win the AFC West. I mean, he's got to not be some Brett Favre-ian with his decision-making and throwing in tight windows ahead of the interceptions. But if he can, you know, kind of tune that up with the weapons he has around him, I think Kansas City can win that division.
All right. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I definitely think they're back in the running. I would agree with that. You know, we made our AFC West predictions a few weeks ago. I picked the Chargers to win the division and the Chiefs number two. But as JQ pointed out, the Chargers have some concerns there. I like the way Derwin James looked. I had a chance to see him play against the Saints this past week. Rookie looked like he's going to be securing on the safety spot. But there is some concern at the cornerback position. Obviously, with Verrett being out, and I'm assuming Casey Haywood is going to be back by week one. They would definitely need him. But another situation here, Hunter Henry, their tight end, he's out for the year as well. Another weapon on their offense. Now, Melvin Gordon and Keenan Allen, I mean, if those guys in that lineup, they'll still be scary offensively. They can still put up some points, and I really like their offensive line. The offensive line, I'm speaking of the Chargers here. I know we're supposed to be talking about the Chiefs, but I'm talking about the Chargers. The Chargers' offensive line is really good. And obviously you have those pass rushers in Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. So the Chargers, as long as they get Casey Haywood back, I still would give them the slight edge because you have Rivers, who's experienced over Mahomes, and you still have Gordon and Keenan Allen. If you can get Casey Haywood back and the way Derwin James is playing and those pass rushers, I would still give them the slight edge, mainly because of the experience at the quarterback position. Mahomes had his best game in the preseason this past weekend, 18 out of 24, played well. He's still missing on his deep throws. He's overthrowing a lot on his deep throws, so the accuracy is not there yet. He needs to get that in sync, especially with having a deep threat like Tyreek Hill. He'll be excellent in the screen game and the short passing game. Obviously, Andy Reid will be on top of that. But I think just from an accuracy standpoint, he still has a little bit ways to go, even though he did have his best game this past week. So I would still give the Chargers the slight edge over the Chiefs, but I think they're close. They're definitely close with some of the injuries that the Chargers have had.
Yeah, I can go with that.
Nice. Hopefully I'm not cutting out any more gentlemen, please let me know. But it's ironic that you mentioned Brett Favre, JQ, because, you know, speaking from experience, Andy Reid has, through the kind of tree, but it's always interesting to see that experience. So he's been able to see that, too. So interesting to see how Patrick Mahomes is going to play out, too, man. So I'm excited. All right, guys, let's talk about the Ravens here.
The talent is definitely there, I can tell you that.
Yeah, talent is 100% there. So who should be the Ravens' primary backup this season, Rob?
I'm going to go with RG3 over Lamar Jackson. When you look at Lamar Jackson, clearly is not ready yet. And RG3 has been quite surprising, in my opinion. He's actually played fairly well after being a year all away from football. And Lamar Jackson doesn't quite have the decision-making down yet. The accuracy from the quarterback throwing the football is not there yet either. So he clearly needs some more coaching, needs some more work. And obviously he's a first-round pick, so he's going to be on the roster. But as far as being your immediate backup, I've been pretty impressed with RG3. And he's actually played very well here in the preseason. And so I think he should be the primary backup for the Ravens, and they definitely should keep him on the roster because Jackson is not ready yet.
I agree with that, and I don't envy Baltimore at all because, you know, they're in my division. I don't want them to do well as a Bengals fan. But that alters your numbers game. You know, we talk about getting down to 53 man. A lot of teams don't want to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. They want to have two and spend that roster spot somewhere else. So when you say that, we agree from a playing standpoint, I think RG3 should be the primary backup. But will they factor in the fact that I need an extra cornerback or wide receiver, our defensive lineman, and I can't spend that extra spot on a quarterback, and you know they're not getting rid of Lamar Jackson as the first-round pick. So there's no way they're going to be able to waive RG3 and think they're going to get him back to practice squad or whatever, because somebody's going to definitely pick him up because he's played well enough to warrant that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a tough spot with that. I agree with you, though. I think it should be RG3, but I'm really interested to see what their decision-making is going to be in terms of keeping a third quarterback on that 53-man roster.
Wow. Yeah, I agree with you both guys, too, because that is going to be a tough decision because, again, that was it's an interesting class. This is Ozzie Newsome's last draft, and we were excited that Lamar got drafted, and he clearly sees not ready at this juncture. Watched a couple of preseason games, so I was definitely cued in to watch to see how he played. And, Rob, you know that he's not ready at all, man. So, again, RG3 is definitely the guy, and you do wonder what's going to happen if they're going to keep that extra spot as well, too, man. So, we're all in agreement as far as who should be the primary backup. All right, we're keeping this moving. We've got about 24 minutes, gentlemen. We are moving right along here with the show. Let's talk briefly about, and I don't know why Rob keeps putting these Patriots topics in here. Damn. All right. Should they be concerned about losing Eric Decker? I'm being facetious here, but should they be concerned with this? I'm going to kind of lead off and say no because I'm Joe Kershaw. We'll probably pick up somebody that gets released off the gate. Watch him turn around and get freaking Dez Bryant. I'm just kind of making that up. But just watch him get somebody and just be just as good. I mean, something like that could happen. That's what
he's lobbying to go there.
So, yeah, but it's crazy. But I don't think it's a big, bad concern, man, because, again, they will find somebody no matter who it is, man. So that's me. What about, say, you about that, Rob? Should they be concerned?
No, I don't think they should be. Well, I don't think they should be concerned about Eric Decker, but I think overall they should be concerned about the wide receiver position on their team right now. And when you look at it, Julian Edelman is out first four games of the season due to a suspension. You traded Brandon Cooks. You signed Jordan Matthews, but then you release him early in training camp. I mean, shucks, you drafted this kid out of Miami in the sixth round, Braxton Berrios. I don't think he's ready. You got Philip Dorsett. He hasn't really showed you much. They sign and then waive Chris Lacy. They got an undrafted free agent. I mean, Darian Andrews. I mean, who are these people?
Right.
They signed a receiver who used to play for the Eagles and the Saints, Paul Turner. I don't even remember him with the Saints. And,
wow.
I mean, they waived former fourth round pick Malcolm Mitchell out of Georgia. They waived Kenny Britt.
Yeah, well,
they just signed some dude named KJ May. Who is that? Look at their wide receivers. But they are the Patriots. They're Belichick. They're Brady. They're going to find a way, that's for sure. But when you look at these names on this wide receiver position right now, I mean, the best one, Edelman, is out the first 4 weeks. But the rest of these guys, I mean, shucks. They could be three of us out there playing. I mean, I don't know these people. So, I mean, I think there's some concern. And I think the Patriots are going to – I think they're still winning the division. But I don't think they're going to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, yeah. So the Eric Decker thing, no, because that dude couldn't catch a cold. And I told y'all when we talked about these dudes getting these celebrity chicks, when he got Jesse James, that dude stopped caring about football. And that's why you see him retire.
I stopped caring about football, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He did. That whole, Matt Smith and Rihanna, all that thing. And people laugh when I say that. I was like, go get you a starlet. And these dudes stopped caring about it. Austin Wild was the greatest cornerback for 2 or 3 years. He got Kerry Washington. That dude stunk the next year after they got married.
Hold on. Who's the Kerry Washington?
Austin Wild.
Austin
Wild.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's
I'm
right.
The
Austin Wild. That's right.
He was a false, and he got with Kerry Washington. Boom. About Eric Decker, no. But what I see the Patriots doing for the first four games, don't sleep on Chris Hogan. He's still a very serviceable wide receiver. And you got Gronkowski. What I think they're going to do is you're going to see a lot of Rex Burkhead and James White be deployed out of the backfield as wide receivers, where one of them will stay in, the other one will go out and run, that Patriot option route out of the slot. And I bet you those guys are all learning how to do that. Or you put both of those guys out there at some capacity. You let Jeremy Hill be the running back. So I think you're going to see that kind of mix and match over the first 4 weeks so they can get Edelman back. So I think they really need to bolster that wide receiver group. But like you said, Belichick and Brady will figure it out. And if I'm reading the tea leaves, how I see them, how they have done their offense in the past with deploying their running backs as wide receivers and getting them involved a lot in the passing game, I think that's what you're going to see a lot of with Burkhead and James White.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Right, I gave my 2 cents on it. Yeah, we can move.
I thought you were going to say something else. All right, good. All right. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills. Shout out to Ernie, Tommy, all of my Bills fans. I feel the passion. So the question is, should they start Josh Allen week number one right out the gate? JQ, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know how I feel about A.J. McCarron. I think if he were ever really give a shot, that he might be. Yeah. Man, listen, I do know how to win. He might turn into something, but we talked about it. Where it looks like they want to start Sam Darnold in New York, and these other things that go on. Patrick Mahomes is starting. It's just the nature of the beast. I think he's going to end up starting because I think that people look at AJ McCarron and that kind of Tyrod Taylor service will back up, maybe play a couple of starts here and there to get you moving, but not be the long term answer. So I think that's what they're going to do. I don't think that's necessarily what they should do. You saw what my Bengals did to him on Saturday. Shout out Cincinnati. Whoop, whoop.
That was ugly.
They got six in that game. He really didn't necessarily look ready when he was going against starters. Like in the first couple of weeks when you're playing against other backups, when the starters were playing nominally at best, he looked good. But when the Bengals were out there doing their dress rehearsal with their starters, he did not look prepared at all. And, you know, he didn't have LeSean McCoy, and that's a definite game changer for sure because he's serious at the running back position. But I just don't think he's ready. I mean, we talked about it. I don't think he should have been drafted that high to begin with. He's got a rocket arm. He's got a little bit more mobility than people think. But his accuracy has always been bad. It was bad in Wyoming, and it generally doesn't get better when you come to the NFL. Your accuracy is generally what it is. You have some cases where, you know, quarterback coaches can help with accuracy. But for the most part, guys have that same level of accuracy coming from a big-time college going to NFL. So they're going to make him a starter. They spent that kind of money on him in the first round. But I don't think he's ready.
No, you're right. He's absolutely not ready to be the starter of that franchise. I mean, he was 6 of 12, 34 passing yards. He got sacked five times in the first half against the Bengals. And he really hadn't looked good at all preseason as well. So he's clearly not ready. And you got to think about it. I mean, he did come from Wyoming. I know Carson Wentz has had success coming from a small school, but he's just clearly not Carson Wentz, and they just try to compare him to that. But he's definitely not Carson Wentz. He's looked very erratic. I'll tell you who's actually looked the best for Buffalo here in the preseason. The same guy that threw five INTs against the Chargers last year.
I
hate to say that. Nathan Peterman. He's been the best-looking quarterback for the Bills here in the preseason. He's completed 80.5% of his passes here in the preseason, 3 touchdown passes, even gave the Bills a little spark in that game against the Bengals. What he was 16 out of 21 for 200 yards and a touchdown. Played the entire second half for the Bills in that game against the Bengals. He's been the best looking, even over A.J. McCarron. He has improved tremendously based on what you've seen in the preseason. Like I say, he's completed 80.5% of his passes in the preseason, whether that's second string, third string, first string. He's looked the more effective quarterback for them throughout the preseason, all three games.
Mm-hmm. It's just hard to race that 5-interception half reception.
I know.
I can't stand that dude, man. I'm just not a fan of Peterman. I mean, nothing against him personally. Just maybe it's more against your coach there, man. Just bad as far as how that was handled. If somebody has another quarterback throws 5 interceptions, he's probably out of the league. But you know, whatever. It's just crazy to me. But
well, he was a rookie last year too.
I don't care what happens. You throw 5 interceptions, something ain't right, man. I'm just saying. You're not getting another opportunity. That's all I'm going to say. And what they did to Tyrod was really bad, man. So I'm just not a fan of that. But
rightfully so. Tyrod should have never been benching that last year. He just had a rough game.
Mm-hmm. 5 interceptions, bro. That's something that's. All right.
Yeah. I'm talking about Tyrod. I'm saying Tyrod had a rough game the week before. He should have never been benched.
Yeah. But I'm saying if he has 5 interceptions, they're riding him out on a freaking, he's out of view.
Oh,
anyway, but anyway, I digress. Speaking of that, so one guy has not played that well in Josh Allen, but then the other cat, Sam Darnold, actually looks pretty good. So I guess the question is, as we flip the script, should he start week one for the Jets, Rob?
Well, I think he's definitely more ready than Josh Allen, that's for sure. He's definitely light years ahead of where Lamar Jackson is as well as the quarterback position. I know we talked about this a little bit on last week, I actually think they still should go with Bridgewater, but they're going to go with Darnold. And all signs point to them starting Darnold from day one and getting him. But I do feel like that that he or Baker Mayfield have the best opportunity, and possibly even Josh Rosen, too, to be the best quarterback to come out of this draft. I think it's going to be one of those three guys that's going to turn out to be the better quarterback out of this draft. So I don't think we've seen the best of Darnold yet, but I do think he's got a potential to be a really good quarterback in this league. And they're going to give him the reins day one, even though I personally will go with Bridgewater day one.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm not going to give up on Lamar Jackson quite yet. I still think he could. He's just clearly on the slower curve than these other guys. And you hit it on the head. If there's anything that's close to a tie and you've got your rookie who you spent that kind of money on in the first round to get, he's going to start. So I'm interested to see if he just looks to kind of, you know, do what the Patriots did last year with – oh, my goodness. I forget. I just drew it back on his name. They're backup quarterback. They traded not Garoppolo, but quarterback Brissett, and they traded him to Indianapolis. I'm wondering if the Jets are in that market for trying to, you know, hunt to recuperate another draft pick by Dylan Bridgewater. I agree. I think it should be Bridgewater. If I was Todd Bowles, I'd be like, I'm still fighting for my job. I want to go with the bet. But Sam Darnold has looked the part, and I'll give him credit for that. And like I said, if there's a tie between, you know, a reclamation project, so to speak, and Teddy Bridgewater and your rookie who you drafted early in the first round, that rookie's going to get the nod.
Yep. Old Jimmy Johnson philosophy. If there's a tie, I'm always going with the younger guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Crazy. All right, gentlemen. Keep it going here. So let's kick this off, man. So we have officially plowed through the first seven topics, and I'm not quite sure Rob will hit all of them. We'll see. But
we got through seven in 30 minutes, man, and there's only like eight left.
We still got to talk about some predictions for college football and whatnot, too, and some a lot of things here. So, again, let's talk about some playoff and some Super Bowl predictions. So, JQ, I'll let you start this one off, sir, if you want.
Okay. I guess I'll do it like this. I go through the divisions. I think New England wins their division. I still think Pittsburgh wins the North. To toss up, I'm with you, Rob. I think I still may give the nod to the Chargers right now, but I think the Chiefs are hot on their tail. And I think Jacksonville wins the AFC South. My wild cards, I think, also would probably be, you know, I'm going to change my tune. I think Kansas City gets one of the wild cards, and I think Houston gets one of the wild cards. I'm not overly impressed, super impressed by the skill positions in Tennessee. I think Mariota's defense also taking another step of, you know, a pocket passer, not just being an athlete running with the ball. In the NFC, I took the Saints earlier with the swim between Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. I went to Saints. In the NFC East, I still think it's going to be Philadelphia, even though they've not really looked great, and I'm worried about the quarterback position. But I look at everybody else in there, and I still think Philadelphia gets it. In the NFC North, I'm going to go with the Packers. In the West, I'm going to go with the Rams. And then my wild cards, I think, will probably be Atlanta and Minnesota will be my two wild cards. NFC Championship game, I think it is going to be that's tough. I'm gonna go with the Rams. I'm gonna go with the Packers in the NFC Championship game, and I'm gonna go with Jacksonville. As much as I hate to say, I'm gonna go with Jacksonville and Pittsburgh in the AFC. I think Jacksonville gets over the hump. I think that defense is ridiculous. If they can get Blake to just be a game manager and not mess it up, I think Jacksonville can go to the Super Bowl this year. And I like what the Rams have just done. I'm gonna go with the Rams and the Jaguars in the unsexiest Super Bowl that the NFL does not want to see. And I'm gonna go with the Rams. I'm gonna go with the Rams to win it all.
All right,
I'm positive, but I'm gonna go with the Rams.
All right,
good.
I think our playoff teams are pretty much the exact same. It just got a different Super Bowl predictions. But as far as who are going to the playoffs, I think our predictions are pretty much exactly the same. I think the Patriots are going to wind up with the best record in the AFC. Just because of the division they're in, and that's like 6-0, six easy wins right there, I think. I think they could easily go undefeated in their division. But I think when it's all said and done, I like Pittsburgh to get to the Super Bowl this year. I know JQ's not going to like that. But I like Pittsburgh as the 2 seed, beating the Patriots as the 1 seed in the AFC Championship game. I do have the Jaguars as the 3 seed. I do have the Chargers as the 4 seed And I have the Texans and the I have the Texans and the Chiefs being those two wild card teams as well. But I like the Steelers. I think they finally get it done or get over the hump. They have good receivers. And their defense is going to be young and fast this year as well. I think they're going to be a lot better on defense as well. Won't be as good as Jacksonville, but I think they'll be better offensively than Jacksonville. But I like the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl and to represent the AFC this year. Like I said, I think the Patriots will have a better record based on their division, but I think the Steelers will be a better team. In the NFC, I have the Eagles, I have the Packers, I have the Saints, and I have the Rams winning the division. I will say I'm starting to get a little concerned about the Eagles, though. I mean, when you talk about the quarterback position and injuries, Alshon Jeffrey looked like he's going to miss the first couple of weeks of the year. Jason Peters, left tackle, is like 36 years old now. I'm starting to get very concerned about them from an injury standpoint. I just don't know what team in that division could probably overtake them. We already talked about the Cowboys. I don't think they're that team. I don't think it's the Redskins. And to be honest with you, the only team I think that possibly has an outside chance is a team that only won a couple of games last year, and that's the New York Giants. To me, they're the only dark horse that could possibly overtake the Eagles. But I am very concerned about the Eagles right now when you look at the injuries, when you look at Jason Peters' age and things of that nature, and Alshon Jeffrey. So I would definitely be very concerned. I think the Giants, if they have an opportunity, if they can get off to a quick start this year, possibly could be that team to overtake the Eagles. But my two wild card teams are the Vikings and the Falcons. I think the 49ers are close, but I think the Lions would be close too. But I think both of them just missed it. The NFC is loaded. I mean, that's eight teams right there I think will be above 500 this year. In the NFC. So I think the NFC is loaded. Now, when we get to the championship game, obviously you guys are going to think I'm biased, but I'm picking the Saints over the Rams. The Saints, how much better they've gotten defensively, and the offense have even gotten a little bit better from the wide receiver position, giving a few more weapons. And I like the Saints with the combination of the offense and defense, getting to the Super Bowl and beating the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Very nice.
Not shocked.
Very nice.
I can't hate on him too much. The Saints got a real legitimate shot. I mean, I can't hate on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I've got a couple of the same picks, too. Like, I kind of agree with you, JQ. I think Jacksonville has got a good squad, man. I think they could definitely make some pay. I'm kind of nervous about the Rams as far as what's going to happen with Aaron Donald. I know they did all those moves, and then if you don't get Donald, that's going to be a huge challenge as well because that's why you make all those moves. Because you have a player like his skill set. So you definitely need him. So I want to kind of monitor that as far as what's happened with that. Like you said, Rob, Patriots, you can't ever, like, count them out, man, because for some way, somehow, them Jokers will always figure out something. I do think that Pittsburgh, again, like we talked about again, is going to be on the outside looking in. I don't think that, as you mentioned, it's going to be a situation where if they get that – I'm still kind of concerned about the locker room, what's happening with them. But, like you said, Pittsburgh is up there too. I'm just going to really quickly just say that just like Rob's picking the Saints, I'm just going to pick my Falcons because I think this is the year for them. They're playing at their home stadium. They're going to try to do everything possible to get to the Super Bowl in their hometown and be the first team to actually win. So, again, maybe it's rose-colored glasses, but I just think they're kind of motivated and they're kind of like holding back a lot of stuff too, man. So, that's what I think. It could be a homer pick, but I think it's going to be Atlanta and Jacksonville. We're going to show Jalen Ramsey that Matt Ryan is not overrated. So that's what I'm saying as far as that. So anyway, that's how I feel.
Okay.
But it's going to be competitive. I think the Saints are going to be in there. You got to deal with Drew Brees, man. I'm a fan, man. So there's going to be a lot of squads that are going to try to do that. But just kind of on the surface, that's what I'm picking as far as that too. So yes, sir. All right. Ooh, I want to get quick. I want to get to these topics here. Oh, we're making some good strides here. We've got about 5 minutes here, right about 5 minutes and 50-something seconds here. Can we quickly talk about some college football predictions, and we'll set this up for the OT portion as well if we can get through these really fast. College football is back, gentlemen. I'm so excited here this weekend too. So let's kick this off
right
out the gate here. So let's talk number 6 Washington versus number 9 Auburn. There's some Washington fans here in Georgia, JQ, that I met last night. It's so crazy. They're all, like, talking some junk. They're excited. They're like, we're going to whip Auburn's, you know. And I'm like, all right. So does he have a lot of confidence in that JQ, or is he kind of a little off as far as that? What do you think?
Hey, listen, I'm going to have to see him before I can even think about picking them. I'm going with Auburn in my own backyard and their SEC feed and that ferocious they're going to have on defense. I think Auburn beats Washington.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, Rob. What say you about that, bro?
It's a de facto home game for Auburn. I think Auburn wins an extremely close game. Like I said, it's a de facto home game. I actually think Washington is a better team. I really do. They're more experienced.
Oh, wow.
They have more pro prospects that's going to come out of this team than Auburn. Auburn has got they're young at running back, they're young on offensive line, and they're young on defense, but they are extremely talented. They just got these young guys who just got to rise to the occasion. But Jared Stenham is a guy who's got a chance to be a first, second-round draft pick at the quarterback position for Auburn. But I think their young guys rise to the occasion like in the fact of a home game. But I will say this, if Washington wins this game, Washington's going to the playoffs.
Wow, good call. Good call. And I do got to give Washington credit for actually taking this game too, man, because, again, for them to, like, travel – that's a huge thing too, man. It's a huge big deal, man. So I'm sure they're going to be
they
ready.
Are loaded.
Because, you know, all
they're more experienced than Auburn.
Yeah. It's going to be a good game. I like the fact it's going to be real close too, man. So it's a very exciting game as well too. So I like that we give them some hope. But again, we got to wait to see, as JQ said. All right, gentlemen. I feel bad taking JQ pick this one. Number 14, Michigan at number 12, Notre Dame. Go ahead.
Yes, you know I want this to end in a 0-0 tie for sure, but I know that can't happen. I talked to you before. I think this is the year that Michigan may start to live up to those expectations. They're going to be ridiculously deep and fast on defense, and they finally have, I think, an elite quarterback in Shea Patterson.
And
one thing is that Harbaugh has recruited well. He just hasn't translated into wins yet. But I think he's got a galvanizing quarterback who can make those throws and has the moxie to do it. I think they beat Notre Dame in a statement game in Notre Dame. I think it's close. But I think Shea Patterson gets one more drive in, and they up in Notre Dame.
Wow, Rob.
I totally agree. We're agreeing on both games so far. When you look at Michigan, as he mentioned, Shea Patterson and that defensive line, Michigan's going to have one of the better defensive lines in the country, one of the better defenses, period, in the country this year, too. So I like them on the road at Notre Dame to pull this game off. I really do.
All right, folks, gentlemen, we are literally about 27 seconds to the OT portion, so we're going to let Rob stay tuned to have his stay tuned for Rob's pick, surprisingly, here for number 8 Miami versus number 25 LSU. I'm surprised he's going to pick for that. But again, Rob, go ahead and set up the OT portion, and we'll keep this going, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're making football great again, so we thank you all for tuning in again. We got a power-packed football edition, NFL, getting close to the regular season kickoff, and also college football, the bulk of college football kicking off this weekend. So we're getting you ready. So you definitely want to stay tuned. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So please click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show. We got some more college football coverage. We have some predictions. We got ACC, SEC predictions, and our college football playoff and championship predictions coming here forward as well. So you don't want to miss it. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show live. We'll be back on live next Tuesday night. So we're going to come back at you next Tuesday night, get you set up for the first week of the NFL season. Also, we'll recap week 1 of college football and get you set up for week 2 of college football on next Tuesday night. Once again, it's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Aloha. You don't want to miss it.
Aloha.
Join us on next Tuesday night. Hopefully everyone is safe in Hawaii from that Hurricane Lane, too.
100%. Yep.
Good night,
yep.
People.
Hey, absolutely. Football is back, baby. I love it. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. Shout out to Florida, what I talked about earlier, for getting that nomination. That's huge. I'm stoked, super stoked about that. I'll talk to y'all next week. I hope everybody has a good weekend, first weekend back of college football. Ho, football is fat, baby. Yes.
Yeah, we're going to make it great again.
keep on doing that. I love the political ties, how we're able to kind of weave that in the show, too. We talk a little politics, but we're also, as Rob mentioned, as JQ mentioned, we are making football great again. So let's have some fun here. All right, so as we get ready to wrap up into the OT portion, what we've been waiting for here, Rob, number 8, Miami versus number 25, LSU. This is my squad, too, to watch all my Falcon prospects. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, it's going to be really interesting here. The game's been played in Dallas. Miami much improved under Mark Richt as well, and they are loaded. LSU is loaded everywhere as well, but the question marks are at the quarterback and the running back positions for LSU. Obviously, Joe Burrow is going to be the starting quarterback. LSU just announced that like a day or two ago. And we have, so obviously, we've been having Leonard Fournette and Darius Geis and a boatload of running backs at LSU for the last 20 years. So we got some unknowns back there this year. So obviously, we're hoping that someone's to rise to the occasion for LSU at the running back position. But I'm going to pick LSU in a very close game here. I'm going to pick them 26-20 over Miami in a slight upset.
Right.
You know, Miami is my second favorite team behind Ohio State. But having played LSU, you know, down the road there in Dallas, and you know, I'm a Joe Burrow fan. You can only have one quarterback, and he was slightly below Dwayne Haskins in Columbus, where he had to leave. I really didn't think he was going to have much trouble winning that LSU job. And I've seen the LSU guys transfer, I believe, earlier in the week or last week. I'm not a big Rozier fan for Miami. I feel like Miami, as much as I want them to be back, I feel like they were ahead of the curve and they peaked a little bit last year. I think they're going to have a little more regression to the mean this year. And they're going to probably tumble a little bit from that 8th rank. And I'm going to go with LSU as well in a close game. I think Joe Burrows is the quarterback to LSU. Not that he's a Heisman Trophy winner. I'm not saying that about him. But he's a competent quarterback that I think LSU has not had in the past 3 or 4 years when they had everything else as a quarterback, but that one thing held them back. I think he allows that offense to be much more wide open and freer. And with the speed and the talent that LSU always keeps and what they have now, I think LSU beats Miami.
Yeah, LSU is loaded at the wide receiver position, and the offensive line is really good too. So hopefully that'll help the running back situation there at LSU. And defensively loaded once again.
Mm-hmm.
And might have the best pair of cornerbacks in the country too.
Greedy Williams and Fulton
as well, another 5-star guy. Yeah, they're loaded at the cornerback position.
That's a perfect name for a cornerback, huh? Greedy. That's hilarious. Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep this moving here. And the only big challenge, Rob, you got to figure out is hopefully you got the quarterback to get into those receivers too. But hopefully that's the guy, man. So
we're hoping. JQ knows more about him than I do, so I'm gonna take his word for it.
Okay.
But I hear he's also pretty athletic, too. He can move around, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, gentlemen, let's get the last game in here. Let's talk about number 20, Virginia Tech, at number 19, Florida State. We know it's been happening. Interesting, Jimbo left Florida State. Willie Taggart, I'm a huge fan of Taggart, by the way. I'm pulling for him to do some good things here. But what do you think about this? This is going to be an interesting game, man, for the ACC, man, to see Virginia Tech and what's happening with them. What's your call on this one, Rob?
I like Florida State. I mean, they're getting Francois back at the quarterback position. I think they're loaded on defense. And then when you look at Akers at the running back position, they're loaded at wide receiver as well. Obviously, Jimbo Fisher left them a boatload of talent. So I think from a talent perspective, I think Florida State can win this game by 10 points. And even though they're ranked 19th and Virginia Tech is 20, I think Virginia Tech is going to struggle defensively a little bit, at least early on this year. I think it's going to take them at least 4 to 5 games to gel defensively. They're really young defensively as well. So I like Florida State. They're playing this game at the right time as well, early in the year. I think they win this game by at least 10 points.
Wow. All right.
It hurts my soul. And same show to pick Michigan and Florida State to win, being an Ohio State and a Miami fan. It does. It hurts me deep to my core. But if I'm being objective and trying to pick a winner, I agree. For all those same things that Rob just talked about, I really like the hire of Willie Taggart. I do for Florida State. I think that's a solid, very solid hire that may not necessarily get everybody excited, but I think he's going to be really good for that program. Like you talked about, Javier Francois back, he's got to take his game up to another level because we saw him struggle against Alabama before he got hurt. But that is Alabama, and that's not who he's playing in Virginia Tech. And Cam Akers is the real deal. So if they can figure out, you know, just to play solid defense and limit Francois' mistake and get a healthy running game behind Akers, I feel like they can beat Virginia Tech in this game.
Good call. All right, gentlemen, let's have us. Well, we've completed that portion of making football great again. Let's move on and let's talk about the top five Heisman contenders. Rob, let's kick it off, bro, with you again.
Well, I cheated a little bit. I think I got more than five, but I'll just go through them really quickly. Will Greer, quarterback, West Virginia, really shined. I think he's going to have another big year. He's going to be the face of the Big 12 now with Baker Mayfield and Mason Rudolph going there at the quarterback position. And David Seals at the wide receiver position, that's going to be a dynamic passing duo, Greer to Seals, there at West Virginia this year. Bryce Love, you got to go to him down at Stanford, 5'10", 195 pounds, explosive. Obviously, he had over 2,100 yards last year, so he's going to be in the mix as well. And surprisingly, I think Shea Patterson could have a big year at Michigan, too. Even though it's his first year there, I think he has an opportunity to have a big year there at Michigan this year as well. Jonathan Taylor, running back Wisconsin, he's going to be in the mix as well.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Sorry, something cut off.
Mm-hmm. Jake Fromm at Georgia, I think he can be in the mix this year as well. I have another big year. J.K. Dobbins at Ohio State, running back position. And actually, I think Dwayne Haskins could even quietly be in the mix there. Jared Stenham, quarterback Auburn. Trace McSorley, quarterback Penn State. Drew Locke, quarterback Missouri. Justin Herbert, quarterback Oregon. I know there's more than five, but those, I think they all have an outside chance of being in the Heisman conversation.
Okay, I'm going to actually answer the question and keep it to five, like you asked me, not go off without people. We definitely have some overlap. I like Bryce Love too. He's got to stay healthy. But once he's healthy, that dude is flat out phenomenal. Him and Jonathan Taylor, they're built. They're going in the offense, especially for what they do best, and they're going to be featured a lot. They're going to get a ton of carries and catches out of the backfield. So you got to watch out for those two. I've seen some lists with Oliver on it. He's dynamic. I just don't know if a defensive tackle can win it, if I'm being completely
honest.
That's crazy. So I'm going to skip over. I'm just going to skip over him because I just don't know if he's going to have enough shine and enough talent around him in Houston to make that happen. I don't trust nothing about West Virginia's football team. Just when you think they're going to do something, they shit the bed. Sorry for using the term, but that's what they do. So I'm not as bullish as everybody else is on Will Greer. Khalil Tate from Arizona. He's going to put up video game numbers from Arizona. So him with the two running backs are my three. And then I look at, you know, Drew Locke again. He's also going to put up video game numbers from Missouri. I think he's going to probably get dinged a little bit because his defense is going to be so bad that it's going to be hard for him to get up there with that because Missouri is just an afterthought when it comes to football. And you talked about Washington.
He'll be the first quarterback in the draft next year, my early prediction.
I agree with that.
Drew Locke, quarterback, Locke. Missouri. First
Locke,
quarterback
yeah.
in the draft.
Okay. All right. Will Greer. Wow. Okay, cool.
I just don't trust Will Greer. I don't.
Gotcha.
I don't trust him. Yeah. And the other piece we talked about Washington. Jake Browning has a for real stage coming right out the gate against Auburn in a de facto home game for Auburn. You talked about how loaded Washington is. They can come out and make that statement against Auburn and proceed to run the table in the Pac-10, he's going to be in that top five for sure because you can say what you want to, but it's quarterback-driven in college and in the NFL. So he's going to get a lot of votes. He can come out and shine against the SEC in Auburn's backyard. So he's my fifth one as a dark horse. I just don't trust Will Greer. And I don't think Ed Oliver is going to be able to get it down from the defensive tackle. So that's why I have snuck Jake Browning into the fifth spot.
Yeah. You know who the last – defensive player to win a Heisman was, guys?
Charles
Desmond Howard.
Defensive player. Who did you say?
No, Charles Woodson. I'm sorry. I'm a Michigan guy.
That's okay. Yeah, he was the last person. So and it's tough. And you got to think about, man, it's tough to have, like you talked about Ed Oliver, JQ. It is kind of, you think about, is there a dominant enough defensive player to win a Heisman ever again, man? So I know you kind of do a little mission out there too, man. So, again, that's kind of an interesting stat. If he can pull that off, man, that's how long ago it's been. I think it's like 97, something crazy like that. So he's going against a lot of history. So here we go. JQ, your squad, man, Ohio State, they kind of get out unscathed a little bit, man. A lot of people may not have liked kind of the verdict, if you will, but they have suspended Urban Meyer for 3 weeks. No contact with the team. I don't think any pay, anything like that. The question I'm going to ask you, I don't know if you think it's fair or not, but again, how are they going to handle it? Are they going to crap the bed? Are they going to, like, galvanize and kind of, like, pitch their tents around each other and just support? I mean, how do you think they're going to handle this, Urban Meyer's absence, if you will?
I think they'll be okay. I really do. Because I believe that Ryan Day, who's going to be the interim head coach, is going to be a head coach somewhere here, if not next year, and within the next 2 to 3 years. He has that it factor, and that was a real coup for them getting him. A lot of people don't really know about him, but I think people are going to start to learn about him in the first 3 games. And let's be honest about it. They start at home with a very down Oregon State team, and then they also get a Rutgers team. I think me, you, and Rob could just take turns, you know, calling plays against those two teams with the talent that Ohio State has and win that game. I'm just being honest. There's just there's too much of a deficiency of talent gap between them. So this is where I think Ohio State tried to hedge the bet of, oh, we're for real, we're suspending Urban Meyer 3 games instead of 2, because now we include the TCU game in that schedule, and everybody's like, oh, okay, you're playing number 16 TCU in Dallas. So that, to me, is the one game that I feel like they're going to have to actually, you know, game plan and put some stuff in there. It's going to be a test today and see if he can overcome that. But to me, it's just that one game. Those first two games, I really, they just have way too much talent for the other two teams. Unless they come out and pull an Iowa, against them and do something silly, I don't think those two should really be contests. And I still think they have a pretty decent talent advantage over TCU. But you take in consideration that TCU is playing in Jerry World in Dallas in their backyard, that adds another extra layer to it. And you talked about Washington taking the Auburn game. But to me, that's a really big – not, you know, it's not to the same level because Auburn is SEC, but having to go play another Power 5 school based in their backyard in the NFL stadium, I think, is a good scheduling benefit for Ohio State trying to appease the college football committee if they can win that game. So I think they can win that game. I think they have enough talent to do it. But that's the game I look at to say, okay, Ryan Day, are you really that guy that can take the next step and lead them there or lead another program, you know, if you venture through these 3 games unscathed? That's the one I'm looking at in terms of, can they make it happen there? Because those first two, I think, are victories. The TCU game is really where they can't afford to lose that game, because we talked about it before. Sometimes you stumble in conference play on the road, cold days, playing a team sandwiched between two other better teams that you know you just played and you have to play in the future. And sometimes you overlook one of those games, and it's more of a nail biter than it should be. It happens to all of our teams. So for me, that's a game that they can't afford to lose early in the year, because they gotta be unscathed going into Big Ten play. I mean, for real Big Ten play. I'm not including Rutgers in that, because that's not for real Big Ten play.
Yeah, we get you. All right, Rob.
I agree. I agree with everything JQ said. I expect them to be 3-0 in these first 3 games. And even the TCU game, TCU is going to be very good on defense like they always are. They'll be better on defense than they were last year. But the quarterback position, Sean Robinson is going to be a sophomore this year. I still don't know. I don't think he's still good enough to beat Ohio State just yet. And I don't think he'll be ready by week 3 to do that. Defensively, they may keep him around a little bit, but I expect Ohio State to go on the road and at least win that game by 10 points over TCU as well. So I suspect they'll be just fine. They'll be 3-0. TCU will hang around with their defense, but in the end, Ohio State will be too good.
I think that's how it plays out as well.
There it is. You're making JQ happy there, Rob. Good job, man. So don't cry, even though, again, like I said, I got to say, a lot of people that aren't Ohio State fans are pretty upset as far as how that verdict ended up. So they thought it was kind of a slap on the wrist, man. So, again, here or there.
You know what? Here's the thing objectively, and I get that. I knew that was going to be the case. But we also have to get to a point where we talk about punishments, where it's not either you're totally innocent or you get fired and you should never work again in life. Like, there has to be some gray area. And I get that people get pissed off about it because it's been six games, but I think people wanted him fired. And anything less than him being fired was going to be a slap on the wrist. So, you know, we've got to have some gray area where that if you didn't actually do the hitting of a woman, you know, what he did was wrong. Don't get me wrong. What he did was wrong.
I'm with you on that.
There has to be some area of punishment between totally innocent and fired and never work again in life. You know what I mean? Like, we can't live on these extremes. Could they made it five or six games? Yeah, would I still been okay with that? Heck yeah, as long as he wasn't fired, because I don't think he should have been fired for it, but maybe he should have got more than three games. I can live with people that say that, but I can't live with people that say, oh, well, he should have been fired and he should never coach again in life. It's like, I mean, where do we draw the boundaries of how is that the same thing as some of the other things that people have done? You give them the same set of punishment. That's my only thing. We have to have a degree of punishment.
You think if he was black, he was all he would have got was three games?
Probably not.
Wow, we went there.
Listen, I'm honest with you, probably not. But that's a different that's a different set of arguments. But you were probably not.
Yeah, that's what we went. We went there. Make football great. We went a whole other direction with that.
just keeping it real.
I was gonna say. You keeping it real. Keeping it real can go wrong too. Go ahead, JQ. Wow.
No. He's right though. And you can. There's a piece of you know of the black college football population that's like, you know what, that's BS. If he was a black dude, that dude they would clean his desk out the same day. And that's a valid argument, you know, but I think that's a different paradigm of the argument of what I was trying to make. If everything was equal, what I'm saying, you would have degrees of punishment. But there's no question.
I totally agree with what you're saying, JQ, but it's just, like you said, the playing field is just not equal across the board.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. But a black coach should have that same leeway as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's what's tough, too, because, again, I kind of emphasize, you know, kind of agree with what JQ, because there's got to be a gray area as far as, you know, as far as what happened. I mean, we're not talking about throwing the death penalty at them like the freaking, what they did to freaking SMU, but
SMU.
There's got to be some type of, you know, balance to that, as Rob said, too. So it's like, you know, you guys, I mean, I'll say.
Nolan Richardson never got another head coaching job.
No, he has not. That's a good point too. Crazy. All right. Before we get into too much trouble from the FCC, let's keep this going here, Rob. Let's continue with the top 25 preview, the last part of the 25 here, the teams 16 to 20, and we'll talk about SEC predictions here and go from there. So go ahead.
Well, TCU, we just talked about them. Obviously, they're going to be really good on defense, as we just talked about. Outside of Ohio State, their schedule is going to be pretty light. I mean, they do have some skill positions on offense, running back Darius Anderson, wide receiver Jalen Reagors. Is Sean Robinson ready at the quarterback position? That's going to be the big question mark for them. And I'm going to say definitely won't be ready by the time they face Ohio State. I don't think he will be that quarterback just yet. West Virginia at number 17. Their starting 22 could be as good as any team in the country this year. But their depth is not there, and that's going to be the difference. And you have to have depth in college football for injuries and things of that nature. Obviously, Will Grier, David Seals are going to keep them in a lot of matchups. Defensively, they're not quite there yet. But overall, their top 22 is going to be very good. Let's look at number 18, Mississippi State here. Mississippi State obviously has Nick Fitzgerald. He suspended the first game of the year. Defensive line is going to be really, really good for them this year as well. And I tell you what, Joe Moorhead is a very underrated hiring as well, offensive coordinator for Penn State the last couple of years. I think it was a really good hire for Mississippi State. They are a sleeper in the SEC West. I don't think they surpass Alabama in the West, but I think if they come with their A game, I think they have a chance to upset Alabama or Auburn, and possibly even be even number two in the SEC West this year. I think they could be that good. Like I said, their defensive line is loaded. They have the quarterback position. Joe Moorhead, like I said, is a great offensive mind as well. They could be a real sleeper in the SEC this year. Number 19, let's talk about Florida State. We just talked about them for the most part. You got Cam Akers. You got wide receiver Murray. You got Francois back. Defensively, I think they're going to be really good as well. And they're loaded with some sophomores that are going to be able to play on defense this year. So talent-wise, they'll be there. And last but not least, Virginia Tech, we briefly talked about them as well. Outside of Florida State, their schedule is kind of favorable in September, so they'll give them, you know, a good month after Florida State to really get that defense together. The talent is there. They're just young. Obviously, they got quarterback Josh Jackson, who's also a sophomore as well, so he should be a little wiser. But it's going to take Bud Foster, even the genius defensive coordinator that he is, it's going to take him a while to get that that defense up to par. So that's a quick preview from 16 to 20.
Anything out of that?
Yeah, not a ton of that. I just, you know, the Mississippi State thing, and we're going to touch on it here in a second. I don't trust West Virginia. I don't trust Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I know they had that brief time where I think they were two or three in the country in the Egg Bowl or whatnot. But I just can't take them seriously for real, like in that division, which I think is the best division of all of college football, with LSU and Alabama and Auburn, to climb over all three of them. So I think they're going to fall just between the attrition, the plan, and the SEC. TCU has an outside chance if that quarterback comes to play, because they can somehow upset Ohio State and they get a chance to play Oklahoma, who's really going to be probably the stiffest test in the Big 12. They have a chance to get two very quality wins on their resume. Virginia Tech in that ACC with Clemson and Florida State, I think it's going to be too much as well. And West Virginia, I just don't trust the West Virginia football program to go out and continuously do it week in and week out. I guess, you know, they're also in the Big 12. I forget about them, which is ridiculous being in the Big 12 in West Virginia. But neither here nor there. I just, you know, I've seen Will Greer have games, and then when you expect him to have a game, he throws bad interceptions, and you're like, come on, Will Greer, you're better than that. And I just feel like that's going to happen again. I feel like that's who he is. So, you know, I don't see anybody – for real out of that 16 to 20 group being that dark horse that we talk about, that at the end you're going to say, dang, we slept on them and they crept their way up to either into the college football playoff or just to the outside periphery where they had a really solid case to get in.
Nice. Don't cry for me, Argentina. All right, gentlemen, let's see if we can get this moving here. As we get ready to wrap up the show here, let's talk about some predictions here. And let's kick it off with the SEC. Rob, kick it off, bro.
Well, in a nutshell, I still like Alabama and Georgia to make it to the SEC championship game. I still think from a recruiting standpoint, both of these guys are light years beyond the rest of the conference. Florida is a sleeper in the SEC East this year. Actually, they'll have a little bit more experience this year than Georgia. Obviously, you saw Georgia lost a lot of players in the draft. We talk about Roquan Smith, Isaiah Wynn, the running backs that they lost. And also Lorenzo Carter. But the talent is there. They're going to be a little bit younger this year. Florida is a sleeper, like I said, because they have the talent, and they'll be a little bit more experienced than Georgia this year. But I'm going to still say Georgia is the team to beat in the SEC East. The SEC West is loaded. I still like Alabama, but there are a lot of contenders in the West. Auburn could be a contender. Mississippi State could be a contender. LSU could be a contender. Texas A&M could be a contender this year in the SEC West. So the SEC West is loaded. Georgia, the only team I think has a legitimate chance of possibly upsetting them will be Florida. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game with Alabama winning the SEC. So that's got six new coaches in the SEC this year. So it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, for as great as we talk about the SEC. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, you're good. Yeah,
The SEC East is a dumpster fire. The reason why I hear what you're saying about Florida, and the other piece you have to add on to that is Florida, you know, historically gives Georgia fits in the cocktail party. They absolutely give them fits in that game. And at times where Georgia clearly had the best team in Florida, not only beat them, but beat them badly. So, yeah, you always have to play that match with Georgia and Florida at the cocktail party. But I agree. I think the class of the SEC East and the SEC West is just going to be a flat-out battle of attrition. For all the things that he just talked about, I think I have A&M and Mississippi State, you know, in the second tier behind LSU and Auburn and Alabama. But, you know, I've got to give the benefit of the doubt to Alabama and that machine that he has going down there in Tuscaloosa. So I agree. I think it's Alabama and Georgia again. And I think Alabama,
Gumps.
You know, the teacher beats the pupil again. And sometimes it takes a little while to get over that hump, beat the guy that raised you. And that's what's happening with Kirby Smart and Nick Saban. So I agree. I think it's Alabama and Georgia. I think Alabama wins the SEC.
Nice. Good call. All right, gentlemen. I'm always scared about the lady, man. So sitting 50s in. Quickly here, let's talk about the ACC predictions. JK, you can lead us off on that one, bro, unless you want to pass it on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to say it. It's Clemson, and it's Clemson, and it's Clemson again.
Clemson. Yep.
In the store.
Right, yep. To the point.
Not only do I like Clemson and Wade to win the ACC, Clemson is my national championship team as well this year. They're my pick to win it all. I eventually think Trevor Lawrence is going to be the starting quarterback, even though they're going to start Kelly Bryant initially.
Sunshine.
But they're loaded at the running back position. They're loaded at wide receiver. Their defenses might have six players that's going to go in the first or second round in the draft. So Clemson is flat out loaded. And like I said, I expect Trevor Lawrence to eventually be the starting quarterback and even lead them to a championship as a freshman. I think he's that good. And, I think Florida State's the second. I think they'll wind up being the second best team in the conference, but they're in the same division with Clemson. Clemson and Miami will be playing for the ACC championship game.
And so, yeah, right on that too. And I'll let you talk about this too because we're right on the cusp. So, do you think it's going to be? I don't know if America could take freaking Clemson, Alabama again. I mean, for certain things too, for playoff things, you know, for championships. So, or certain things. Did I say that right? Yeah. So, set it off. JQ and kind of let's keep this moving here. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I hate to say it because I got a ton of Clemson friends and they won't ever let me live it down if they win another title here. I think it's Clemson. I think it's Alabama. I really do think it's Ohio State just based on their talent, but I could see them being knocked off by somebody in the Big Ten and somebody taking their spot. And that fourth one I really struggle with because I can see another scenario, a path of Auburn knocking off of Washington and TCU and Oklahoma not necessarily being up to snuff and a second SEC team getting in like Georgia or LSU. So I'm actually going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say LSU is also going to make it. I know it's going to be hard to do, but sometimes not having to play in the SEC championship game may actually be beneficial to them if other teams lose around them and lets them move up. That's just what I'm going to go with now. I'm going to go with Ohio State. I'm going to go with Clemson. I'm going to go with Alabama. I'm going to go with LSU. And for the love of God, I think it's going to be Alabama and Clemson, and I don't want to pick a winner because I don't care who wins.
If LSU makes it to the playoffs, that'll be unbelievable. LSU is one of the toughest schedules in the country. You know, the two teams they play from the SEC East is Georgia and Florida. So they're playing the top two teams from the East. And obviously LSU plays Florida every year, but that other school is normally rotated. So they're playing Georgia and Florida this year. And then with the SEC West schedule, the Alabama school that they play every year is Tennessee. And I don't know who the other team is from the East that they're playing this year. But, if LSU can pull that off with that schedule, that'll be quite unbelievable. And obviously I would like for that to happen, but that's going to be extremely tough with the schedule that they're playing this year. But my final four, obviously, I just said Clemson is my team to win it all, so I have the number one. I have Alabama number two. I actually have Georgia in it again at number three, and I have Ohio State in as number four. A couple of teams on the outside that's got a shot. Washington, as I mentioned. I think if Washington wins at Auburn, I don't think they will, but if they somehow win this game, they have a really good shot to get in the playoffs. But I have them right now as an outsider looking in. I have Wisconsin as an outsider looking in. And I have Oklahoma as the three teams just on the outside of the playoffs.
Nice. I would agree with that.
I agree. It's going to be interesting. Yeah, like I said, because I thought Georgia's going to sneak in there too. That's why I wasn't quite sure if it's going to be another, Clemson-Alabama, because I think Georgia's going to have a lot to say. They are ready to roll. Unless Nick Saban pulls out some crazy stuff out the blue, like starting a freshman quarterback in the second half of the game to really mess them up, man, that's crazy. So, again, let's see if Georgia's going to be ready to handle whatever they throw their way. I'm really scared about the lady guys, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. I think we talked about Kobe Bryant fans last week, but I think to kind of keep with the integrity of the show, as we're keeping football great again, Let's wrap this up and get prepared for next week, gentlemen. Go ahead, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back on the air live on next Tuesday night. Once again, it's going to be next Tuesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You definitely don't want to miss it on next Tuesday night. Once again, as I teased earlier, we'll get you set up for week one of the NFL. We'll get you set up for week two of college football and recap week one. So we have a lot to talk about on next week's show. Obviously, we're getting closer to the baseball playoffs as well. So we're going to be starting to get you ready for that here pretty soon as well. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in again.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate y'all listening to the live show and downloading the podcast. You can hear the OT. So pumped. So pumped that college football is starting this weekend. I almost just can't contain myself. I think I've worn Ohio State stuff to work out and do something every day for the past week and a half. I'm super excited and ready for this. And I hope everybody out there is also ready for it as well. So, you know, tune in to the show next Tuesday. So if you think about what happened over the weekend, hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook. We always appreciate the feedback, and we'll incorporate it in the show as always. We love you guys. Talk to you next Tuesday. Be safe on the weekend, y'all. Don't be wilding.
And one other thing, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you all competing in one of our Talking Sports Fantasy Football Leagues, we have another draft this coming Saturday morning. Once again, it's coming Saturday morning. I believe it is for 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. And for our friends in the Mountain Time Zone, that's going to be 8 a.m. So this is our last Talking Sports draft right before the season. So thank you all. We look forward to another year competing. And like I say, let's make football great again. Good night, people.
Football great again. And we appreciate the fact that I had some auto draft stuff, so I don't even know that roster. It's a crazy looking roster, man. So that's we'll see how that plays out through the computer.
I set the time up and I totally missed it.
Crazy! I was on the road, man. It was crazy, but I am looking forward to another great league, man. So this is gonna be fun for sure. But again, we appreciate you guys. A lot of love, as JQ said, and we made football great again, gentlemen, tonight, man. So I appreciate you guys. Have a fantastic week. Please be safe. We'll keep the lines of communication open as we always do during the week, and let's have some fun. College football is back. We made football great again. Good night, people.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.